The entire I Do Notes podcast family is now a Spike Studio production.
It's the Social Geeks episode 33 live at South by Southwest. Don't forget this one's brought to you by GoDaddy. See the links in the notes for all the discounts.
We're going. That's how we always start. It's the Social Geeks Live, actually. So you knew this did have video, but it's looking at the ceiling. Apparently, we've been banned from doing video inside of the convention center. That's a lie. We'll just go with that. So around the table today, we're missing Caleb. He is busy with Yobongo running around, as most people heard the news. We have Wayne Sutton as general.
Hello, hello, hello.
We have a guest, Paul Steele, Living Life BB.
How you doing?
So everyone knows that means BlackBerry, for those that know. Miss Sarah Perez herself.
Hello.
Hello. Louis Gray, sir.
Thank you.
I've seen him numerous times this week, and I haven't met Josh before, and tell him who you are, because you got to say the words.
I'm Josh Catone from Mashable.
He's required by... So if you hear that name a few times, it's because we're required.
That's Mashable.
I'm Wayne Sutton of socialwayne.com.
Social Wayne, not social, not WayneSutton.com, as we heard yelled out a window last night at Moonshine. So starting out, Wayne has the magic list, but overall general impression from not only first-timers that are here, but also just a quick in general. We want to keep this short and to the point for the week, but you're up first because you've got the list, Wayne. So this year.
Okay, so talking about South by Southwest in general, this is my third year, and I think it's going great. One of the complaints last year, there was too many people, too many social media douchebags. And this year, they separated a lot of content based by topic and different pods downtown Austin, which I think is actually good for everyone to get the best value out of from what they're looking for.
Did you just use a beluga term?
Yes, I did. Pods.
You used pods. Now we have a first-timer, Paul, first time here. So go. I mean, you're here on your own, as not as a consultant, not as a social media person, but on your own. So
It was overwhelming. There's so much good content, and you just want to go to everything, but you just, there's no time to do anything.
Are you finding enough content around what your focus is, mobile devices?
Yeah, I'd say. I think my primary reason coming was just from blogging aspects and the social stuff, but mobile device side, yeah, not as much as I probably would have liked, but I wasn't actively looking for it, so I don't, you know. There might have been more out there that I wasn't aware of.
And we'll get back to a setup question we have for you. You know that's coming anyway. It's about the types of devices supported. Sarah, what about you? I know you've been here and run the gamut.
Actually, this is my first South by Southwest.
What?
I've never been to Austin either. So it's an all-new experience for me.
That's why we can't find you? The past few days, we've never been able to find you.
Well, I've been taking meetings with various companies and stuff like that while I'm here because I don't live in San Francisco or New York or anywhere big. So this is an opportunity to face-to-face with some people from various companies on an individual basis. So
now,
I've been doing that.
I know, Louis, you've actually had a couple, not only you've had sessions as well. So
this is my third time at South by Southwest, and I kind of have this rule that I go if I get to speak. And so I've been on a panel and a core conversation the last couple of days, but had some good meetings outside of the panels as well.
Are you finding newer faces since you've been here multi-years?
Absolutely. You know, there's always some good folks that I can bump into on a regular basis, but what it tends to do is extend the conversations you're having throughout the year. And then you can have them face-to-face finally once you land.
Exactly. And Josh, what about you?
This is my third time at South by Southwest.
For Mashable?
No, I mean, I was here. This is my second time for Mashable, my third time overall.
Okay.
I actually moved to Austin about a year ago, so now I'm sort of a native. But my impression this year is that it actually seems a little bigger. I mean, it's more spread out. There's more panels, I think. It's definitely overwhelming, but Wayne made a good point. I hadn't really thought of that, but you know, breaking it up into whatever you want to call them, pods or groups or whatever, has really helped me because I'm here mainly scouting for our social good channel, and I was able to just sort of stay in one part of the convention center and meet a lot of really cool people, so that's been great.
Right, and I'll do the 2 seconds. So it's my first actual on-premise one as well, and what I found was the overwhelming part wasn't the amount of people or whatever. We've done other events. It's the amount of sessions per slot leaves you missing a lot of content. I was surprised at the number of sessions that were available per time slot, and then a lot of gaps to me was in between. And I know that they're not recording them all. They're not, you know, so I'm going to lose a lot of content here, which that was hurtful. But we have the list, so we keep it short. You have the applications that launched. So we had a whole bunch of slew of things, but the biggest one, of course, has been the group. So we have Beluga, mm-hmm. Carnivore. We have Living Social. We have Yobongo. We have a tab that's open with them all from Wayne's phone.
Fast Society
GroupMe. What else launched here, though?
Hashable.
Well, of course, Hashable. But Hashable isn't really group chat.
And Beluga didn't really launch here.
Yeah.
It was acquired before they got
there. Right. Hustle didn't launch here.
Yeah, Hustle didn't launch before those. Yeah.
If we're using the criteria, they all didn't launch.
They're all being actively used.
Yeah. Actively used. Yobongo was a couple weeks ago. I know he did beta. So he's the closest besides who else. What about Carnivore? Weren't they just, went live?
Carnivore's been out for a little bit.
Yeah. They just launched. So
Hurricane Party launched, 2 to 3 days ago?
Yeah.
That's kind of handy.
Yeah.
You're liking that one? I haven't used that one yet. So let me ask the question. Which one has been the most useful? Anybody first?
Beluga.
Beluga.
We've been using GroupMe at Mashable.
Okay.
Why?
Someone picked it.
Oh, I don't know. It's East Coast.
Well, I heard that earlier. Someone picked it, but
it's worked out well, though. Yeah.
Well, there. I think with GroupMe, it can easily just help people who just have SMS. They can use GroupMe. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't know.
Which I mean isn't a problem with people at Mashable, but it's
if you don't have the right phone. So GroupMe goes backwards compatible the most. Beluga is iOS and Android only, right, for that one. Yobongo's
iPhone only.
He said but they're not sure when they're going to develop the other ones. What about, does anyone know the other platforms? Like Hashable, I know, is iOS and Android only. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can use Twitter to send to it still. Mm-hmm. So you have an interaction through Twitter. But do you think there's too many of the apps, and this is something people have glazed over? Do you think there's too many of these group apps launching, or I shouldn't say launching, being used at one time that now we don't have a consensus?
No. Okay. There's never too many applications. The issue is that people are going to find the ones that they prefer.
Right.
You know, no one ever says, well, we should only have so many car manufacturers or so many TV channels.
But they whittle them down.
They whittle them down. The market figures it out, or they turn into specific features and get bonded onto something else. So you've already seen Beluga get snapped up by Facebook. And right now they're keeping it independent. They might forever, or they might rebrand it. They might pull it into something that you already use. You look at Yobongo, they want to be an independent company. They're going to try and drive that as long as they possibly can. But who knows what that's going to be. I think over time, I mean, the people we're not talking about are Text Plus. Text Plus actually has 8 million users, 16 million activities per month. They're the biggest one in the space, but they're a little bit older than the other guys. It's kind of the same situation you had when BrightKite got overtaken by Foursquare, even though BrightKite was around first.
Is it features that is driving the adoption? Like, so picture you, Beluga, we can drop in pictures. Mm-hmm. Those are not based, but what about GroupMe? It's just SMS-based, right? So you can't have some of the feature sets.
No, they just add photo upload.
To the application.
For the application.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So Beluga has the same. It does SMS integration. And that's one of the things we've been seeing is, so we'll bring in Paul in that piece that we talked about, is he runs a BlackBerry, like Living Life BB, and you're finding a lack of people that are writing, even in the future plan. Some of them are saying, well, we're getting to it or whatever.
Well, and from the people I talk to, it's almost a lack of knowledge of, you know, they immediately think it's just overly complex when it's not. And I think that they're going for the quick wins.
Well, sure.
But
consumer, I mean, side, mass consumer.
It's not like BlackBerry is, you know, 1,000 people. There's multiple millions of people on BlackBerry.
Sure.
So it's a whole segment that people are missing out on.
And you just not, and I, we asked that. We said, do you have a client? And a lot of them said later or beta or maybe, you know, it's planned or whatever else.
Yeah, but even when I went and sat and explained to her how easy it was to convert their app into a BlackBerry app, she's like, well, then why aren't we doing this?
Exactly.
So it's just that there's a knowledge gap that they don't know how easy it is, and that's why that they're, I think they're glossing it over.
Well, who wants to predict a winner? We did this before. We've done it with other applications, other services. Who wants to predict a winner?
Well, I think it's different in the group chat space because you look at BlackBerry. When we're talking about BlackBerry, you have BlackBerry Messenger, which is now looking at talking about going having an iOS and an Android app for BlackBerry Messenger. You're going to have some users who are always going to use BlackBerry Messenger no matter what.
Right.
Especially, and then also the smartphone adoption is still growing, and it's Android, iPhone, and different regions, different groups. Like, we're at South by Southwest, we're a group of, most everybody here is Texas geeks, and we're going to pick whoever is the leader of, or just, you know, Paul? No, that's Paul.
Josh.
Like Josh was saying, somebody just pick one. Whoever starts one in that group of friends, because it's more personal, then that's the one that's going
to
get used.
So is it influencers? Is it if Lewis says, and you sent out a tweet talking about an app you wanted to use, is it an influencer that'll help drive someone to some of these? Or if Josh writes an article, is it that's what's driving it, you think, is an influencer then?
Well, I think what you're finding is that people are getting excited about the apps that their friends are using.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these take people who are their peers who are participating to be successful. One of the things that the Beluga team always said was the biggest piece of feedback they got was that my friends don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard part is somebody has to go first. And so with my experience with Beluga being the first guy to talk about it and announce it, was kind of creating an artificial room that had a lot of activity by putting a lot of people together who weren't used to it.
Right.
And then from there, they started to get an understanding, and they invited their own and kind of let them on their way. And so similarly, like something like Yobongo gets thrown into this idea of group messaging when in fact that's not what it is.
No.
It just happens to be an open chat room for people that are location-based.
Right, because you don't control the way, so everyone understands it, hasn't seen it by any chance. You don't control who's in that public room. You can have your own private side, right?
Right, absolutely. You can have a private sidebar, kind of like DMs on Twitter in the same way.
Yeah. So when you write about something, do you look at it from the aspect of feature sets at Mashable, or do you guys look for, I mean, in general, when you're talking about this, you know, the space of the applications, how would you approach it if you're doing something like this?
I mean, if we're doing a straight review of a new app, we'll look at the features, we'll look at what it brings to the table. But I mean, we'll eventually start looking at the trend as a whole, and we'll start sorting out like sort of winners and losers and see what the space looks like as it changes.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. So let me ask this, industry-wise, and then Sarah too, because you've been, so everyone knows Sarah's typing again. This, usually when we record, she's
Do you
trend-wise and everything else that you guys have seen, do you see the ability that you guys are able to take as an influencer, and if you write about something enough, it seems to become the ones they choose? I mean, that's what I see when I read the trends that any of us write. Eventually, it's something when Lewis writes it.
But my thing is that we are still a, like, so I had a conversation with someone who used to work for Brightkite, and they're talking about how, like, Brightkite is doing, like, despite that, I'm an early adopter, and I was kind of upset when the company who bought Limbo, who purchased
Limbo,
Brightkite,
yeah,
and shut off the location feature check-in, even though I stopped using it that much, it still was, like, on my phone for a location-based service. It was, now it's going to group chat. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't use it for that. That's not, I don't want to use Brightkite for group chat. But what this employee was saying, that Brightkite as a group text app is doing great.
What was it? What's the name of it? Do you remember?
Well, it's still Brightkite. It was Limbo who bought Brightkite.
Right, but they had a group name for their group chat, and it's missing. Obviously, no one's talking about it.
But because I was an early adopter, when all that changes are made, I kind of stepped away, and some people can call whoever influenced or whatever. But we can blog about it. We can say, I'm getting rid of Brightkite, and I would think me and my friends who were early adopters, we might not use it. But they still got millions of users and doing fine,
sure,
and growing as a company, as a group text app. Now, we hear, and nobody's talking about Brightkite, but they're doing fine. So my point is that because the geeks, us and so forth, may stop talking about it and stop writing about it,
yeah,
the internet and the everybody else out there big enough to where if they get enough user adoptions, when you're talking about who's going to win, Loop has been having more users than the Foursquare for the past 5 years until this year, and Loop has been winning, but nobody said Loop was winning.
Yeah,
everybody's waiting for Foursquare to pass them, and so I don't think we can pick a clear winner at this time. I don't think there's going to be one for a long time.
Right, Lewis, anything else?
I mean, if you look at little snapshots, I mean, people win the day; they don't win the overall period.
Right.
In some cases, because it's possible that the company that wins it, we haven't heard of yet. In 18 months, 3 years, maybe Google introduces a feature which turns into this. Maybe AOL does it.
Well, Facebook kind of did, right?
Like AOL IM team. I mean, they've got a really sharp team there that we're not talking about right now, and they could do a lot of really cool stuff.
They still own a big piece of the chat market.
And the AOL IM team came out of Brisley Thing Labs. They had a feature called Picnic, which was a web-based group chat, right? And so all they have to do is turn that thing on for basically all the phones that you want to go, and they're in the game. So we don't know who's going to win. I think if you picked it for this week, you know, GroupMe was out there quite a bit. People were talking about them a lot. You know, even though I don't personally use the app, a lot of people do. In this table, we like Beluga a lot, and we've seen them talked about a lot. Yobongo is just up and coming. There's no way you can say that either they or Convor have won anything, but they're just getting started.
Yeah.
To speak to your earlier point, you know, I think a lot of times what happens with sites like Read, Write, Web, and Mashable, you know, we write about a lot of apps that don't make it,
right,
that are in the Deadpool, you know, a few months after we write about it. But we're really good at identifying the trends and what people are using, and we'll write more. You know, we're chasing page views, so we're writing more about the apps that are being used and have that uptake. So it might seem like we're influencing. I mean, I don't know if it's a case of us influencing the market or the market influencing us. I think it's a little both, but
a little both.
You know,
I think it's a little bit of both.
But, you know, we see those influence. We see what's being used, and we write more about it because that's what people are talking about. So, you know, we follow the trends too.
And sometimes we get very excited over things that completely don't make it. Like,
we can geek out on stuff that
Renfeed.
You know,
it made it by being acquired by Facebook. So right. I mean, that's different. But it didn't make it as a standalone site for mainstream
Google
users.
Wave. I mean,
yeah. And then I'm looking at Wayne's list. One that was out a while ago, WhatsApp, that is a multi-platform, messaging service that works great across them all. So a philosophical one, because I know Josh, you have to go in a minute. Is do you guys see the startups that come down here that are launching their products, and it's something, is my first year that I feel, is a lot of them are not in it with a business plan in terms of monetization yet or what they want to do. It's either get bought or something we talked about is that, you know, we're starting up. Is it, do you guys see that a lot of these places have goals, long-term goals in mind that are, you know, starting up that did all this? Or is it more about hopefully we get bought, or I hope we can eventually come up with a monetization plan? Like Hashable has no monetization.
Well, this is a symptomatic of the entire industry at large. This is not a South By problem.
What
we've talked about, and let's use Friendfeed as a great example, is by them getting purchased by Facebook, it just shows a consolidation to a few large players in the space. So essentially you've got six big players, and it's pretty much, you know, the Google, Facebook, AOL, and even Twitter's big now, if you call them that. You have some of those players that are out there, and they're going to get acquired by one of those people, is kind of what's happening. And so people are building the idea of a fast flip. You know, you work for 2 years, you get $30 million, and then do it again. And then maybe if you get lucky, you get 100, right? Mm-hmm. And so some of these guys, they don't really have to get that type of solution. They talk about wanting to build an independent company, but everybody wants to get paid. So they don't necessarily say they want to get it in the revenue, and some people think they're valued even better without the revenue, because once you start getting revenue and start getting profits, you start to get a specific price per earnings,
right.
which limits how much you can be purchased for, whereas you can always say the pie is the sky and kind of go that way.
Because we found a launch 1 year, say Paul, we found was untabbed or untabbed or whatever it was.
Tapped out.
That's a local Austin company.
Right. But we wondered, how do they make money out of it? Because they're driving you to the bars, is because the bars sign up and they get a fee, but it wasn't clear because all the transaction fee was being done on the back end. So we see those type of startups and we wonder, how are they doing? Is, you know, outsiders looking in on a startup like that, is where do they see their goal that's going to be? Besides having a big event here, taking people to 8 different bars, buying free beers and showing how the app works, where was their plan? You know, who would want to buy something like that as a company? And that's one of the things in startups that I was lost when I was here is looking at.
Well, I think there's a whole shift in that, because part of that startup, what's your plan to make money, is just to get a whole bunch of users to get acquired, goes into the shift where we see VCs invest in startups as just apps, the app model startup with no social network, no complete presence on the line. It's just, we got an app, we're going to get a lot of users, then we worry about monetization. Because like in the panel with Caleb and GroupMe and Beluga, and it was like somebody asked a monetization plan for GroupMe, because it cost them a lot for the single SMS.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, how you make money? Well, we got a plan for that, strategy for that. But nobody's talking about that publicly.
And it shouldn't cost them anything for the SMS, technically. Because if you can get hooked into the back ends, you can actually send direct to those systems. It really should be costing them a lot, is what it is. It's they're not eating the usage side either from the people that are downloading them. But it's what are you going to do with it? How are you going to sell it to somebody as a service?
Yeah.
And that's what I don't see on some of the apps that are out there.
No. But flip the script a little bit.
Yeah.
Have anybody heard anything about the photo share apps? I mean, it was a conversation we was all talking about before South by Southwest, Path, Instagram,
Pick Please.
They all upgraded right before South by Southwest.
And
everybody's phones.
There was some competitions. I seen some, and then the Justin TV launched the video one. Social cam.
Yeah.
Social cam. And everybody was doing contests, upload your favorite photo and all that sort of thing. But I haven't been using those apps that much, you know, here at South By. Have you?
I haven't used any of them.
I mean, that goes down to your personal preference, though. I mean, I can't say that there's not 100 people doing that or 1,000 people doing that. I was on a panel with Path and LiveShare on the first day. That was the Go LiveShare guys. And what they're doing is they're building albums that are dedicated to South by Southwest that anybody can view. So the discussion that we had there was, do you want to make it completely private to a small network of friends like Path is doing? Do you want to be public broadcasting like Instagram is doing? Or do you want to have a shared event like LiveShare is doing? And they're all kind of exploring their own market. They're all kind of saying they have a different value system and a different view of what's promiscuity versus public and private. And so there's people using it, and we just might not happen to be big photographers.
And what makes those apps so special for what's out there now? Like the Flickr app that'll load up to your private, I can share with family. It's all built into the app. I mean, what is their benefit they're bringing that would say use ours instead of something like that?
Well, if you look at Path, their suggestion was essentially that you have 50 close friends.
Right.
And it's a subset of Dunbar's number. And it even gets worse than that. So they talk about the 15 closest friends, which would be essentially those people who come to the hospital if you were hurt. And you'd hope it's maybe some of these guys around the table, maybe not all of us. Like, you know, Sarah would come get you and I would.
Right, exactly.
Just do that cut.
Right, well, Sarah, yeah, right. If only if it was, like, before 8.
Right, you don't want to go to bed too
late. If it's late at night. Right, don't get hurt too late at night.
Right, after 8, you can call me. So that's good. But so then you look at LifeShare and what they're doing, and they really believe in the idea of keeping people updated. I saw a guy had a group with just, like, 2 people. It's himself and his wife, and he takes pictures of what he eats every day, and she comments on it and kind of keeps him in terms of, like, buying the right food and staying fit. And so it's just a different way of using the tools that are available. In terms of the extensions, like, you look at people not talking about Shutterfly or Kodak EasyShare Gallery. And I think the world has kind of moved on beyond that. At least our world has. And we're all looking for something new that is more dynamic and more tied into the tools that we use every day, via Facebook and Twitter.
Well, have you seen, okay, so remove us from the equation. Kodak says, you know, when they issue it, you get the Kodak share in the cameras, right, that comes with his software. Do you picture seeing any of these photos, and of course, Wayne has a whole group now for photo sharing up on his phone. Do you see any of these apps being built into when you get your camera software? Could you see one of these apps actually, you know, could you see
it's
Kodak saying buy it?
It's going to take a lot of time. I mean, they're probably not going to add somebody like a path right away, or maybe they'll get PicPlease or Instagram support.
Sure.
That might be something there, because that is pretty public.
Right.
But I think the other direction is what's happening. So what I talked about with the Path guys is you want to have, like, upload to Path, CC Facebook. And that's exactly what they're doing, because people want to have a centralized photo repository for all of their stuff in addition to a specifically dedicated social network.
Yeah.
So since Facebook is becoming kind of the catch-all for 100 million photos a day, CC Facebook.
True. Sarah, you've been very quiet.
Sorry.
That's okay. Well, I was going to ask you, you know.
What's my question?
The question was, could you see any of, like, the photo sharing apps being picked up by some of the manufacturers, like the Canons, and they make software for their cameras, and saying, you know what, we love your technology. We want to buy you guys up. We've never thought about this. We want to buy you up because we love your overlays that you do with, you know, PicPlease and things, and build it right in. And now you've got an additional layer of software that they didn't have to develop, and they buy the talent, basically.
That's an interesting idea. It would be kind of cool if they did, I think.
I've never seen an acquisition like that.
That's not what I was expecting. I thought they would support them. I don't see an acquisition taking place.
Yeah.
I can see the talent.
I mean, Google and HP are both talking about putting Android and WebOS onto other devices besides just phones and tablets in the future. So you could theoretically see those operating systems on cameras, and then, you know, your camera. But at the same time, the iPhone is your camera for a lot of people. You know, these cameras are actually getting, these phone cameras are getting pretty good, so.
What do we have? We have, like, mine's an 8-megapixel, we've got 5s,
when you add something like Instagram on top of that, you know, you're actually taking pictures that look pretty nice.
Right.
So.
Well, remember, Google did try to acquire Path. Allegedly tried to acquire Path.
We always have these little sub-notes in our... For legal reasons, they allegedly tried to do it. We'll just put that in there as well. But what else do you have left on the list, Wade, before we make sure we get it all? And then we'll, you know what? They just sold the last one. It was a white 64-gig Wi-Fi only, we found out. Mm-hmm. That was it. Now they say the guys are standing around with their hands in their pockets. There's nothing left for Apple to do at the store. They're all gone.
It was a makeshift store, so, I mean...
They're talking about, what can you expect? They sold out.
Does anyone know, were they selling more than just iPads or just iPads?
They said they'd come in, they'd help you support anything, but that makeshift was just iPads.
I'm
not sure.
That seems like a missed opportunity. I mean, I'm sure people are breaking laptops left and right here.
Just iPads there, and there is an Austin store.
Losing iPhones,
right?
Stuff like that. Yeah, there is an Austin. There's 2 Austin stores, actually.
So they have to walk 3 blocks. Big deal.
Right, to go a little further. Definitely. And then what about the other tablets? Anyone touch the new ones coming out? The HP, the Playbook was out today over at Food Spotting. They had their Playbook out. You can tell us a little bit about the specs that are published.
I mean, they're all public.
Right.
I mean, it's a 2 gigahertz dual-core processor, 1 gig RAM, front and back camera, 3-megapixel, 5-megapixel back, 3-megapixel front. Both will record in 1080p, which is nice.
Yeah.
So full HD there. 16, 32, 64 gig models. And I've had one for a while. I love it.
Right. We got a video up this with it. Has anyone touched the HP? The new one that they're supposed to be showing tomorrow, I believe?
I had.
Usually
I saw it briefly in Barcelona.
Okay.
I mean, really briefly, like a few seconds.
Did you actually get to
pass it around?
You had to pass it around?
Yeah.
So today they did a good move. BlackBerry was here with Food Spotting and actually had Playbooks all over the table that you could handle and play.
I saw those briefly as well at Mobile World Congress. They're very nice. I like the user interface. I'm not convinced they could be competitive.
So what's the screen size on those?
With apps.
Paul?
It's a 7.
The 7-inch. You know the resolution yet? Is that out yet?
Oh, if they get
it is, but I don't.
I don't know if that's public.
Off my head.
Yeah,
flash your pen.
Right, anything else? So what else do we have left on the list so we'll be on time?
Waiting for the big news.
That was the other thing. Big news? Has there been big news that's here? Have you? I mean, you guys are writing. Have you seen big news?
I mean, we haven't.
No?
But what's happened is South by
News. Not at South by.
South by News comes out before.
But was that at South by?
Do you think it was really for South by? I mean, was it news
for South by? People to have it talked about. But if you look at, of the new apps that are all out there that people are talking about, Hashable is the only one that I'm going to be net new using after the conference that I wasn't previously.
Okay.
You look at the group applications. I was already talking about Beluga and Yobongo before that. And so you're not seeing net new stuff debut here, but it shouldn't. It should be in the mindset before people arrive.
Well, should there be any news from anyone ever? Should there ever be a kickoff here then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why would you not want to advertise or make your stuff available to 15,000 geeks?
Right, exactly.
Now, I'm not saying you want to buy a Chevrolet because of this show, which is what they've been pushing out front, but you can get new tech stuff.
But are we at the point now where, because of the history of South by Southwest, where everybody wants to launch an app, mm-hmm. and there's not too many apps launching right. here at South by Southwest?
That was a decision.
Pre-South by Southwest.
Does it actually, put a little too much, water into the mix that way?
I don't think you should anticipate your app's going to go viral from this show.
No.
That should not be your only marketing.
No, I've seen some of the local ones that I've seen, these hyper-local lookup ones down there. I saw two or three of them. I'm thinking, which one would be the best? Why would it be? And you just can't figure it out by walking around and talking to them. And I'm surprised, as a first year, something I didn't bring up earlier, the presence of smart companies that are doing things outside of social applications, like the Sobeys and the others, that get people involved in their products that have, it gets consumed by geeks, but there were not really, any type of technological product.
There are two apps that I have heard multiple times from various groups of people.
Yeah.
And one is Pathcrosser. It's like a recommendation engine of your friend.
Yeah, but
see, you run about it.
Well, why don't you tell us about it?
Pathcrosser, Sarah, and the other one was Local Mind. But Pathcrosser,
where did you hear about it?
Cool. We talked about Domo.
Yeah.
From different, I know one thing they did smart is they had a party and they want a lot of people to go to the party. So to get in, you got to download Pathcrosser.
Right.
But then outside of that, other people are just saying that it's interesting because it compares my check-ins to yours and recommend a place for us to meet again down the road or a new place we haven't been before. And that's like a recommendation engine, location-based app, and some suggestions that people are like, it draws people interest. It's like,
yeah.
Chris, we both like this place, but we've never been. Let's go here.
Right. The same thing. So you wrote a whole story.
Yeah, the thing is, I wrote an article a few weeks ago about Where's recommendation engine. They implemented the bump APIs into their app so that you could bump friends, and it would compare your likes and interests and everything. Very sophisticated, but on Where, only within the Where app.
Okay.
And I lamented, why can't somebody make me an app that compares my Foursquare and Facebook check-ins instead? And as it turns out, someone did. It's called Pathcrosser. So they do the same thing where you bump phones with the bump. It uses bump API, but it compares your Foursquare and Facebook check-ins with whoever you bump with. And then it...
How does it know your Foursquare? And how does it know if reading from the phone? You have to give it
the
login
information?
Yeah,
you give it your... Okay. You sign in. You authorize your...
That makes sense.
After it does that, it matches you up, and it kind of, figures out, if you're a match that has very similar interests and tastes and things, or if you're polar opposites or what have you. And then not only is it a neat way to see where you've been and what you like, it's also kind of a cool conversation starter, when you're meeting someone new and you want to kind of get to know them. And it's also a neat way to just get local recommendations from friends. But then also in a future revision of the app, it's going to try to pull in more data from these sources. So it could pull in Foursquare tips in the future. So if you've said, I really love the sushi at this place, order the blah, 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 roll, whatever. That could come into the app. So when we bump phones, you could see my tip about the sushi. So
it's very early.
I mean, it literally launched here at South by Southwest. So, I mean, this is brand new. But there, you can obviously see there's some use cases for it that would be really interesting going forward.
Did anybody try Domo? I saw you had it loaded. I forgot all about Tridomo. So it was supposedly a new one that was for down here that just launched a few weeks ago, like you were saying, before to get the buzz. But it takes your Facebook likes across everything from music to work to job and then finds other people near you don't know. Has anyone tried that one? I did it once, and it found three people, which was one of those apps that's launched that no one's used. So the interaction with a lot of these is really leaving me confused of when would I ever use it again? And I feel like you, when I leave, which ones am I going to delete at this point? I'm down to that point. Lewis made that. You put it on Twitter, actually. You said that.
That's the only net new one I'll be using is Hashable. Right.
But because of the value it gave you right away, you found value with it?
And because it makes sense. So I had a chance to sit down with the CEO this morning, and it all makes sense what they're doing.
Okay. So you know a little more info than what was out there. What, you got one more, Wayne?
Yeah.
Which one is that one? So we can
a do. It's out of New York, DB. For the money. Only thing about I don't want to say is, but I got to say it. Sorry, DB. It's like Bump, but with added Foursquare so you can remember where you bump the person at.
Okay.
And his thing is supposed to work, but you change context.
All right. So you know what? Well, you know, we'll probably talk in a couple weeks as usual. And we can see what we're still using. I'd like to hear what everybody's still using at that time and what we've removed and what we haven't removed to compare. Plus, they're starting to clean up. So as you guys can hear, there's ladders. There's the slamming doors. There's I don't know what they're doing. They're making a lot. So we know where we can find everybody. SocialWayne.com
at Wayne Sutton. On.
No way. I thought we were buying Anti-Social Wayne.
Maybe next year.
Okay, next year. Okay. Paul, where do they find you at, Paul?
I'm doing bizblog.blackberry.com.
Okay.
Got a couple posts there.
And online Twitter stuff, you're Living Life
BB? I'm just Living Life BB, pretty much everywhere.
And we know where to find Sarah in Tampa. And then, of course, Rewrite Web.
Yes.
Anything else you want to plug this week?
I'm Exclusives going upcomings? To go straight from here to CTIA in Orlando. So I've been having major inbox overload problems once I got on the press list for both of these events.
Yes.
So if you've emailed me something really important, you should probably just send me a tweet instead.
That's a good one. Yeah. And Lewis, and you talk about Sixth Sense stuff at all, but go ahead.
No, next time we can do that.
Okay.
But Lewis Gray everywhere.
Yes, of course. We know that. Plenty of commentary you've been sending a lot.
And? I'm on Mashable.com. That's Mashable.com. and I'm Catone on Twitter. It's my last name. So.
Okay, Catone on Twitter. So everybody, this was the non-video version. We're missing Corvita. We don't have any clue where she was, and we know that Caleb was busy. Yeah, well, we just don't.
She was at the Mashable house earlier, so I don't know.
Right, since then we haven't heard from her. Right? She's vanished, and we know that Caleb's out and about with Yobongoing people. He's been Yobongoed a couple times since we've seen here. There are incriminating pictures of him online already. We've already posted some of those from the Yobongo party. And you brought this up earlier. You had to load the Yobongo app to be in the door. Actually, at their party. The lady working the door was really strict on everything in life.
She was militant.
She was very militant. So, Social Geeks Live at South by Southwest, and everybody know how to reach us, and we will talk to you probably in 2 weeks.